How come Mats Hummels never scores a header for Bayern Munich? Goes back to Dortmund, and now he can't stop scoring them.
He leaves his head in Dortmund, apparently.
And
that was bad. That was really bad, but...
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. The 2020-21 season is really starting to pick up steam, and Bayern Munich are nearing the end of a busy cluster of games. They made it 2 wins out of 2 this past week, albeit with much difficulty, and they'll be hoping to do the same this week as they take on Red Bull Salzburg on Tuesday before squaring off against Bundesliga rivals Borussia Dortmund on Saturday. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, everybody.
And Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
Yeah, like I said, 2 games, 2 wins this past week for Bayern Munich, but neither of those games were, well, particularly enjoyable to watch or really all that impressive for Bayern Munich. And it's kind of hard to think about many talking points from that game, but on Saturday, at least, we did see Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting make his first Bundesliga start for Bayern Munich, with Robert Lewandowski not even making the trip to Cologne. And so I think that's probably the best place for us to start. So, Garrett, since Lewandowski is kind of your guy, I know that this it was really weird to see Bayern leave him in Munich in, you know, obviously not the most important game, but still an important game traveling away to Cologne. So how do you think, you know, Choupo-Moting filled in for Lewandowski there? Was there an obvious void that was missing? And, yeah, did he really do anything that, I guess, justified Bayern signing him instead of just trusting in Joshua Zirkzee going forward?
I don't know that he did anything particularly exciting or anything really to write home about. He did fine for a guy that you're anticipating playing the backup role. But I don't know if that he necessarily did any better a job than we've seen Zirkzee do in the past, and so that's probably a little bit disappointing on his end of things, and it does seem like he was upset with himself with the performance as well, and just I don't know, by and large the one opportunity that he had. You know, kind of on a breakaway, he got a great chance and he kind of flubbed that away as well. So not the best of showings for him. It doesn't concern me so much because, like I said, I would guess that we're probably only going to see him start, you know, not even a handful of games as we go forward, because it was super surprising to me that they left Lewandowski just back in Munich. It wasn't so shocking to me to see him not starting, just because we'd seen Choupo-Moting come in a lot more often, and there's a much more willingness to give Lewandowski some rest. But to not even be in the squad was certainly a shock. And it didn't seem clearly Bayern were missing their offensive firepower. They were missing the kind of the clinical finishing that Lewandowski's had. But they kind of made up for that a little bit with the way that Serge Gnabry played. And even though Leroy Sané didn't play great, I still have no doubts that as he gets back from his injury and gets up to speed, he can fill that offensive void. So yeah, I overall not super thrilled with the performance of Choupo-Moting in relief of Lewandowski, but fortunately we shouldn't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah, Sebastian, do you think that this this kind of system where Choupo-Moting fills in for Lewandowski and is eventually replaced by Joshua Zirkzee, almost them splitting the minutes, is a good approach from Hansi Flick to make sure that they're both getting the minutes? Or do you think it would just be better off to just give them all to Joshua Zirkzee?
Well, I think it's definitely a reasonable approach here. A reasonable approach, I must say. For one thing, I feel like this is a special kind of season, so we really need to make sure to spread those minutes around. Really need to make sure to manage injury risks here. So that should be our first concern in these things. I feel especially when it's looking pretty good in the league and also in the Champions League. I mean, we are, I think, in first place now again. So, yeah, it's not like it's causing huge issues, even if those two games maybe weren't exactly brilliant, I would say. So I really like that. I liked also that both of those other strikers, other than Lewandowski, got their minutes, because now that they are both here, there's a lot to say for giving both of them their chances, making this kind of a competition. And I think there are also a lot of arguments for, giving Lewandowski this time off. So I think for now, this is probably a good way to go. I guess I also want to defend Choupo-Moting's performance a bit here, because midweek, Lewandowski didn't look exactly brilliant either. So it wasn't such a striking difference as one might think, looking at the statistics for the whole season, I guess. So it wasn't like a huge loss compared to the game against Moscow. So yeah, not a big deal in that respect, I would say. Yeah, I feel like we need to give those people some minutes, and I think this is a new season. It really starts to feel at least like a new season in some aspects, I would say. Because, the team, while they have been playing pretty well in some games, they haven't found their rhythm. They haven't found their new identity for this season, I guess. It's just not completely clicking. It is not as automatic as it used to be. And they are still finding, how this is going to go this season, how we are going to approach this in the future. Whose status has changed, who's where in the hierarchy, and so on. I think this has just to continue a little bit. It has to develop a bit, and then we will probably all be able to see a bit clearer. And the situation with the strikers now being three is one of those positions where I think things have to develop a little bit more. We'll have to give people some time and just watch who they are in this new season. And it could be that Xerxes is going to beat Choupo-Moting in the end, and maybe he's going to get a number of games even when Lewandowski is able to play, maybe. But it could also very well be that Choupo-Moting is looking better and Xerxes is probably going to go somewhere in the winter. And I think both of that is fine. I really like that Flick is rotating more. I think we really need that. He's giving people chances. He's making sure that people just don't play too much, that they don't get overplayed or anything. And I like that. Nothing to criticize there from my perspective.
I think from the standpoint of that this match against Köln, it was like not so much the strikers that were concerning to me or the rotation or anything, because like you mentioned, this is something that I think Bayern need to do, especially given that they're playing every 3 or 4 days for a while. And even with, international breaks, you're getting a lot of your players having to play over that break anyway, too. So it's not like, you look at the one, match and say, okay, we have major issues here because our backup striker didn't light the world on fire. I think from my perspective, I would imagine you guys would agree, the thing that bothered me the most about the Köln match was that they were they seemed disinterested for a lot of the match. They got, maybe a harsh penalty. I think it was a correct penalty to give, but it was kind of against the run of play. Bayern did not look like they were in full control before that penalty. And then that kind of just changed the whole outlook of the game. And then, but other than that, it seemed like they were just kind of, just sleepwalking through the whole match. And
you know, it worked out fine because Bayern are clearly the more talented team. But that's the really more concerning thing to me, is that there's going to be several of these matches where some of these teams that Bayern shouldn't really have any problem with, they might have problems with, because they're playing guys who are just not used to getting, you know, a large amount of minutes. You know, that's there's going to be rust that needs to be worked off, chemistry that needs to be built, and everything like that. But also just the guys that do play, you know, when you know you have a big match coming up in 3 days, it does have to be pretty difficult to really get real jazzed about playing a team like Köln. And so it's like, that's a little bit more concerning to me. And not that I think it's like a real problem. I can see that being a more of a reason for Bayern getting bitten than how they play without, you know, Lewandowski or Goretzka, who also didn't travel.
Yeah, I think you bring up a very good point there, Garrett. We're just going to have games like that with, you know, having so many, not so many, but having a handful of new guys coming in, and then guys like Sané just coming back from injury. We're already in a weird season anyway, so games like that are going to happen. And then, you know, we've said this before, and it's kind of a cliche, but, you know, the sign of champions, the sign of a good winning team, is that they win those weird games. Those games, you know, away to Cologne, where it doesn't really look like they deserve the 3 points, they still come away with them. And so it's nice to see that even when Bayern are struggling, they're getting the necessary results. But I do want to talk a little bit more about Lewandowski, because I guess one of the most surprising things to me was that he was even, I guess, okay with being left in Munich. And I say that because, you know, 2, maybe 3 years ago, Robert Lewandowski is not okay not traveling to Cologne and staying in Munich. We're talking about the guy who essentially ran Sandro Wagner out of the club in less than a year simply because he didn't want to give up minutes. That's really not the same Lewandowski we're seeing. You know, now he's kind of a completely different player. And so, Sebastian, I know that you had some quotes from the one and only Thomas Müller kind of talking about Lewandowski that you wanted to bring up and talk about on here. So I'll go and turn it over to you. What do you have for us?
Yeah, so obviously this is a translation from Thomas Müller's lovely German, or Bavarian, if you will. So definitely don't take this for his exact words, but that's my English translation that I'm giving you here. So what he said is, for a long time, that's Lewandowski, had been wanting to score a big lot of goals. Now he wants to score goals in order to win games with the team. You really can't praise it enough and be happy about it enough that he has taken this step, that he is able by now to even be happy about an assist. So yeah, that's, as I said, my rendering of Thomas Müller's Bavarian words. And I think it's pretty interesting what he's saying there. So, for one thing, this lines up very well with what we have been talking about, with what we thought we have been witnessing, I think. So, yeah, there definitely has been a change, and that's the good news, of course. And Thomas Müller is saying that, and I believe that he's serious about that. He's not completely joking here, in my opinion. So he says, this old Robert Lewandowski, he was in it for himself, and now this new Robert Lewandowski, he's also kind of happy about an assist. So definitely a huge change. Now he's playing for the team. Now he wants to score those goals for the team. He wants to win games for the team and not only for himself. So he wants to play well for the team. So he's looking good. He wants to look good, and maybe the team is also going to look good. So this is definitely positive. But I also find it quite interesting that Thomas Müller offers a lot of criticism of Lewandowski in this too. So because obviously, making it a huge positive development to be happy about an assist, that's a bit weird, right? Because I think there was a quote by Klose, I think, by Miroslav Klose this week too, about playing for the team and about assists and so on. And I think that's a good comparison, really, because Klose, that was, for me, a world-class striker. He might not have been as great as Lewandowski in the club competitions, but on an international level, he was definitely very much above Lewandowski. So for me, they are kind of on a similar level. Maybe not as Bayern players, but as players in general. Yeah, I feel like this is a very interesting comparison because Klose is really the kind of player mentality wise that I would prefer over Robert Lewandowski. And I think for a player like Klose, it was very clear that through his whole career, he was not in it for himself. He wanted to win games for his team. And I think that's what I expect of a Bayern player. That's what I expect of a player who comes here and who wants to be our top player, who wants to be a club legend and whatnot. I would like to have a club, I would like Bayern to be a club with a lot of these players. Ideally, a club where we only have players like that, because that's going to make a great team. And I think it's a bit weird that even Thomas Müller, who's obviously has a good rapport with Lewandowski and who likes Robert Lewandowski, I can only assume, because they are brilliant together. Football-wise, when he still says something like that, which makes it sound like he's maybe on an okay level mentality-wise now, and definitely was on a not okay mentality level before. Well, that's still, there's a lot of criticism in there for me at least. Maybe you guys read that quote differently, but maybe I can also add that a friend of mine showed me that quote kind of as a criticism of Bayern, as a criticism of Lewandowski, as a criticism, maybe even of Thomas Müller, maybe because he's like laughing and he's thinking, oh, okay, let Robert do his thing. It's fine. Something like that. So yeah, I mean, you could argue that people like Thomas Müller shouldn't really put up with that. They shouldn't have put up with that for so long. Maybe I think you could make that argument even. So I think it's interesting because I think some people take that as very positive, that he actually has made that step, while other people would say, man, this is devastating.
Well, so the way I see it, you could interpret it several ways, like you said, but I kind of think of it as like a parallel with Arjen Robben, almost. So by that, I mean, when Arjen Robben came into the club, he didn't have necessarily the right mentality. He was a very selfish player, and even after he had a mentality fix, he was still what you'd call, I guess, a selfish player. But I see a lot of similarities in him and Robert Lewandowski in that, you know, when Arjen Robben kind of turned the corner in 2013, kind of after he hit the lowest of the lows, missing important penalties in 2012, both at the club and at the international level, he kind of bounced back. And you could tell there was an obvious shift in his mentality. And he really bought into the Bayern way. And sure enough, he goes on to, you know, be our most important player in the 2013 Champions League final. I think you can kind of see the same thing with Lewandowski. Maybe about a year, maybe a year and a half ago is when we first started to notice Robert Lewandowski have a change in mentality, a change in the way that he plays and the way he approaches the game. He kind of turned that corner, if you will, you know, after this whole big speculation about him leaving the club, and you know, he finally signed a contract extension and everything. Anyway, after he turned that corner, well, you know, 2020, Robert Lewandowski has undoubtedly been the best player in the world. He would have won the Ballon d'Or if they would have held it. He won every trophy there could be to, you know, be won at Bayern Munich. And so I think this corner has kind of turned. And so rather than I guess this is maybe just the optimist in me, but rather than seeing it as a criticism of Lewandowski, I mean, yes, he used to be that player that wasn't, you know, for the team. He only did it for himself, essentially. He's now undoubtedly a team player. And that's what Thomas Müller, I think, is trying to get across. That if I could use the phrase we used either last week or 2 weeks ago, now that we've got all the Dortmund out of Lewandowski, he's fully committed to the Bayern team. He's fully committed to the team playing better. And as a result of that, he's putting up better stats than he's ever put up in his lifetime. He's finally winning these trophies he's wanted to win his entire life. So I would interpret it as a positive with a little bit of a negative thrown in a way that I guess Thomas Müller is the only one who really has the license to do that because of, you know, the rapport he has with Lewandowski. But Garrett, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on all of it. And then also maybe answer this question for me. Do you think that the year that Lewandowski has had winning the Champions League, and he undoubtedly would have won the Ballon d'Or had they held it, do you think this has sort of taken a chip off of his shoulder to where we're just going to see him become more and more of this kind of team player, this actual leader at the club?
I think with that quote from Mueller, I think it's kind of dependent on where you were on Lewandowski before the quote that kind of dictates a little bit how you take that. From my perspective as someone who's really, you know, been kind of a Lewandowski defender, I there's no way I would doubt that, you know, he's had some selfish tendencies and maybe not really the type of Bayern mentality that we would have preferred. But I hear that quote and I think, wow, look at how far he's come. And I think it's kind of coincided with his uptick in play and going from being just a really good striker, you know, one of the best strikers in the world, to undoubtedly the best striker in the world and part of one of the best team in the world. I think I look at that as a quote that says, you know, he's grown as a player, because he's grown as a person. And some of that comes with age. I think some of that comes with being at Bayern. I think some of that comes from the Bayern leadership just really starting to kick in. I think the argument can be made just like you made with Arjen Robben. Once they kind of found out that, I don't know, maybe this, once they found out that they need Bayern more than Bayern needs them, I think that really kind of unlocks some sort of pressure relief valve a little bit. And so it makes them really be able to take advantage of the natural gifts that they have, as well as all the hard work that they're doing, because now they're no longer doing it just for themselves. They're doing it for all their teammates. They're doing it for all the fans, and not just fans of Robert Lewandowski, but fans of Bayern Munich. And so I think that there, just like any sort of comment on progression, you're going to have to kind of reference the fact that, you know, that a person wasn't where they should have been, and now they've gotten there. And so I think, like from your perspective, Sebastian, you know, as someone who's never really felt like he fit what you want in a striker at Bayern, I think that quote kind of vindicates you a little bit in saying that, like, see, he wasn't that player, and they did put up with him maybe too long. But on the flip side of that, you can also look at it and say, Bayern were able to get that out of him. And now it seems like he's kind of on a path that he probably has a couple more seasons at his highest level, at his peak. And I think you're right, Ben. I think to the question of, do you think that this is kind of going to unlock something that's going to make him better and better? I really think it will. I think that there's going to be times where the old Lewandowski appears, because habits are hard to break. But I do think that, like I said, when you stop playing just for yourself and your own accolades, I think that does almost necessarily make you a better player. And when you're doing it for the best club in the world at the moment, that can only be a positive.
This is totally conjecture, I guess. But from my own experience of playing football with other people in small clubs, I feel like they are two different kinds of selfish players, if you will. Lewandowski, for me, is kind of more the cynical kind of selfish player, or at least he used to be, who didn't really care much about the rest of the team. He just wanted to have the ball, to score, to look good. While I think Robin always struck me more like a guy who's definitely completely full of himself. But yeah, I think he's a player who fights for 90 or 120 or however many minutes it is going to be. And he always wants to have the ball because he feels like he's the guy who can make the difference. And not so much because he just wants to look good and wants to get to score. I mean, this is a slight difference, and it's really all in those players' heads. But that's just my gut feeling about this, right? So I feel like Robin is not this kind of, I don't really care. As long as I score my goals, I'm fine. I think he's really a player who hates losing. So he's not the kind of player who'd say, okay, I scored three goals. Yeah, it ended 3-3. I'm fine. So that's not the kind of player I think Arjen Robben is. I think Arjen Robben is more the kind of player who really wants to win those games. And he thinks he's the best guy to win those games for the club. And I think there's a slight difference there, at least from my perspective.
No, I think you're right. That actually is a really good distinction and a good way to put it between the two of how Arjen Robben is as a player and Lewandowski, how at least he used to be. It's a different type of selfish. But moving on from Lewandowski, but the public in general has received more details about David Alaba's contract situation. And it's kind of fitting that we follow right after Lewandowski to talk about what's going on with David Alaba, because it's almost like we have another Lewandowski-type contract situation. It's FC Hollywood's coming back up, so it seems. But new president Herbert Heiner essentially said that David Alaba had a contract offer on the table that was open until the end of October. October's now over, and the contract offer has expired. He went public and said that. And so now David Alaba himself has responded. He said that, number one, the club never told him anything personally about this before they went public, so he's disappointed in that. He gave some details about how things went on in the summer, saying that, for example, their contracts negotiations started way before coronavirus hit, and he was already disappointed with them. So it's not only, you know, an issue of the contract stalling because of the figures, because of how COVID has affected everything. He said that he was, I guess, kind of hurt that Bayern offered or told him they may offer him in a swap deal. I'm assuming he means for Leroy Sané. That's, again, talking about last summer. He called that a slap in the face, even. And so every time he's been asked recently, you know, is the door still open for you to stay at Bayern? Are you already thinking about where you may spend your future? He, you know, continuously responds, as any, you know, professional probably would do, that he's not thinking about it at the moment, but is still kind of ominous, and it's still not really looking optimistic that David Alaba is going to be a Bayern player next summer. So, Sebastian, I'm wondering, you know, what are your thoughts on this, and how is this being viewed in Germany? You know, what's the general consensus about, not necessarily who's in the right or the wrong here, but what's the perspective on David Alaba's whole situation over there?
Well, I think talking about what the German public kind of thinks, or the football public, if you will, I think most people feel like this is not going to end well for the club. Most people, I think, now feel that Alaba is probably leaving. And also, I think even people who are not Bayern fans, a lot of them have kind of changed their mind about Alaba. I think a lot of people see him in a worse light than before, because I kind of agree he's not looking so great in all of this. From my personal view, my feelings are still kind of mixed, because some of these things Alaba is saying I can understand very well, but some of those I really don't get. He definitely has some points here, but the kind of games he's apparently playing just, yeah, kind of devalue that for me. For example, I can totally get that he doesn't want to make less money than anybody in this back line. I definitely see how he wants to be the highest paid player in this back line. Perfectly fine. I can perfectly see that. That's a completely valid argument. He has been at this club longer than any of those other guys. And at least at the end of last season, he could have easily argued that he's the most important player in this back line. So no arguing with that from me. Also, I perfectly get that he's frustrated if the Sané thing is accurate. I mean, we don't exactly know. But if you want to swap him for Leroy Sané, I would have been as frustrated with this as he would have been. So I totally get that. But what I don't get is what he's not saying. I mean, I think there's really no debate about, I think we all really agree, and it is kind of confirmed that he doesn't want top backline money, but he wants kind of Robert Lewandowski money or Manuel Neuer money, or maybe even a bit more than that. And yeah, that I just don't get. And that's really, yeah, he needs to at least make a step in the direction of the club. And I really don't get why he's not doing that, because he really needs to be reasonable there. I doubt he's going to get this money anywhere. And if he is, okay, well, it has to be obvious that Bayern can't pay him this, even if there's a perceived slight that has happened before, like if he feels like, they did him wrong or anything. They cannot pay him like that just to make good on that. That's ridiculous. That just doesn't work. That's not how these things work. So that's something I really don't get here. Also, what I don't get is how can he talk like this now without addressing that what Heiner said, that this new contract was what you said, Ben, that this contract is only valid until the end of October.
Right.
So it seems pretty clear that Bayern expected a response from him by the end of October, and that didn't happen. And I feel he really needs to address that if he's going to criticize Heine for what he said. But he isn't. And this is just fishy for me. That feels like he's, yeah, not really being honest here. And this kind of, well, I don't want to call it whining, but it feels a bit like that. When he argues like that and leaves out the very important stuff, if he wants to be in this, if he wants to frame it like this, if he wants to display himself like that, he at least needs to be honest, I feel. And I don't feel like he is honest.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of my frustration right now. You know, David Alaba is a player that I've really liked for a while, and this whole situation's really left a bad taste in my mouth, but you bring up a really good point. Seems like he's not being as open as the club is. Like, the club has nothing to hide, and I have no reason to believe that Herbert Heine would say that if it wasn't true. And so for David Alaba to come to a press conference and then say something, I believe he said, you know, I wish internal things would stay internal. Well, I mean, that's all well and good, but now that it's out in the light, you know, you have to say something. And I could be wrong here, but I'm really getting the feeling that he already has decided that he's gone, right? He has his sights so far set on Real Madrid or Barcelona, wherever he wants to go next, that essentially he's told Zahavi, his new agent, either I become, you know, joint top highest earner at the club, or I'm out of here. And so he knows that's not going to happen. So there's not going to be any, you know, positive negotiations going on. But he knows that as long as he stays quiet and the club comes public with stuff, he can take the high ground. You know, he can go into a press conference and be like, oh, I didn't know anything about what they said. You know, I wish internal things would stay internal. And he only comes out looking for those who don't read between the lines. He only comes out looking better. He gets to take sort of the high ground of the whole entire situation. And so that's really, if that's what's going on, hopefully I'm wrong, but if that's what's going on, it's really disappointing from David Alaba to see that. But I don't know, Garrett, maybe you have a different view. You think that he's being completely honest in this whole situation, and maybe the club are entirely in the wrong, or I don't know what. How are you reading this situation?
No, I don't think I have a much different opinion on the whole thing. I don't like it when anybody kind of airs their disputes out in public. It just feels awkward to me because someone's trying to use, you know, the public as their human shield here. And I don't really, they're both putting out what they want the mm-hmm. public to view. So no one's getting the full story, from either side. And while, you know, I think most Bayern fans have always really enjoyed, you know, David Alaba and his personality and all he's brought to the club and how he's taken players under his wing and kind of mentored players. I think that's, you know, it's been huge. You know, in the case of like Alphonso Davies, like I know how he felt, you know, David Alaba, you know, helped him integrate into the club and everything. But this whole thing, I mean, even, even back in March when we were talking about all this stuff in terms of what he was demanding as far as the salary and everything, it just doesn't sit right with me because it seems so different from the David Alaba that we've kind of grown used to. And right. maybe that's just what's been presented in public as well. But I just, I felt back then even that maybe the wage demands aren't even so much real as it is like, you know, I want to go to one of these big Spanish clubs. They both can't afford, you know, to get me now. But if I kind of drag on this wage thing, then maybe, you know, I can leave on a free and, you know, so it's like, it's just someone's acting really underhanded here and I don't like it. And I want it to just go away at this point. But if I had to pick a side, I mean, it seems to me like the club is not necessarily the one more in wrong. I don't think either one's doing the right things here, but necessarily, but I have a harder time believing that that David Alaba's agent is, you know, acting in a manner that is good for everybody. So
yeah, definitely.
That's just how I feel, and I don't know how it's just an uncomfortable situation.
Right. Well, we do need to move on, I guess, for the sake of time. Hopefully, we have more concrete details about what's going to go on with him very soon, but. Let's talk about Saturday when Bayern Munich play Borussia Dortmund for the first time in the Bundesliga for this season. Both teams are in pretty good form. Dortmund are about the same as Bayern. They're getting the necessary results, but not usually looking so amazing in doing so. Both also have a midweek game with Bayern playing Red Bull Salzburg tomorrow and then Dortmund playing on Wednesday as well. Sebastian, I'm going to come to you first. Do you think that Bayern are ready for such a big match? Because this is the biggest Bundesliga match so far this season. And then, well, answer that one first, and then we'll get to the other question after that, I guess.
Oh, well, I guess as ready as they can be expected to be. I think none of those teams in the Bundesliga look the same that they would look if this season, had it started the normal way. If the summer had been the norm, like it normally is, and if the end of last season had been the way it normally would have been, then I guess that's just not how it is, but that's kind of affecting all of those teams, not only Bayern. So, well, these last kind of, at least the last two games haven't been exactly brilliant, but yeah, I think it's no use complaining about this. That's just how it is. This is the new kind of corona situation we're going to be in for this season. So yeah, it is what it is. And I think Bayern is at least reasonably ready for this game. I guess it's not looking great in terms of injuries. This is not exactly brilliant. I think the biggest kind of issue is what are we going to do with the back line? This is going to be kind of interesting. But yeah, I would say we're reasonably well equipped for this game. And yeah, I think there are a number of things we could talk about here. But I don't want to take that away too soon. So yeah.
Why don't you go ahead, especially you brought up the back line. So Niklas Süle apparently tested positive for COVID-19 today, but I guess there are still some hopes that it's another false positive. Nonetheless, we can probably expect him to be out for Saturday's game. So what do you think the back line is going to look like then? Pavard or Bounassar, who takes right back? Just go ahead.
It's really a very interesting situation there because actually now it looks like they're on the right side kind of suddenly looks better than the left side, I have to say, because both of those right backs have been actually looking better than I would have thought. I think Pavard has not exactly completely improved or anything, but I have to say he's been looking more like a right back than he used to, I feel. He has not exactly gotten better, but he has adjusted more to what I would like out of a right back early this season, I feel. So, yeah, I can see myself agreeing more and more with Pavard actually playing right back in the long run. And of course, the other thing is that Bonassar also has been looking pretty much better than we all would have expected. I think he has even done a reasonably good job on the left side on, what was it, Saturday. So, yeah, I can only say pretty good things about those right backs, while the left side is looking a bit thin, actually, with Davies out, with Alaba probably not exactly enthusiastic about the idea of playing on the left side, and also not playing entirely well too. So those two don't seem like candidates for this game. That leaves us actually, I think, with either Lucas Hernandez or with Bonassar even on the left side. Yeah, and it's really kind of a tough call here. I guess there would be even an argument of giving Alaba some time to think. Maybe I would actually do that. I mean, he already had some time to think, I suppose, in the last game. So this is, you cannot really rule that out, I suppose. Well, I guess I might put Sar on the bench in the end, but it's really a close call. I would hope if I start Lucas Hernandez on the left side that he's going to actually show up and that he's going to show us that he really is fighting for a starting spot here. Would not be totally satisfied, I would not expect to be completely satisfied. I'm not quite sure, so I'm kind of on the fence for the left side, but on the right side, I would see Pavard. He has been looking really good. As I said, he's now looking like that right back, despite everything we have been talking about, because obviously he's way too tall, but yeah, it is what it is.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. I actually would maybe disagree a little bit about Lucas Hernandez. I really hope he starts, because I think that as far as defenders go, he's been one of our best this season. But that doesn't really say a whole lot based on how our defense has played this season. But Garrett, Hansi Flick really hasn't put out much of a consistent lineup at all this season. But we can still probably kind of expect who, if fit, is going to be starting in the big games. But I guess there's a question about the wings, right? So Kingsley Coman has sort of had a resurgence so far this season. However, on paper, you would probably assume Leroy Sané and Serge Gnabry are the top two wingers at the club. So who, and maybe even Douglas Costa if you want to throw him in, but who do you expect to get the wing spots on Saturday? Does Kingsley Coman get in based on form, or are we probably going to be seeing Sané and Gnabry?
My guess would be you'd see Sané and Gnabry, because just trying to kind of get back up to speed before the Dortmund match, because I would say the Dortmund match is probably the more important of the two matches, clearly. So while it'd be nice, you don't want to overlook an opponent like RB Salzburg, because they're one of those smaller league clubs that could very easily come back and bite you if you're not paying attention. But I do think that despite Coman's form uptick, especially in Champions League, I still think that you need to get Leroy Sané back up to full speed, because that's going to be the guy that you're going to be relying on more so than you would on Kingsley Coman. And so with that in mind, I would go Sané and Gnabry, because I think that they just that's the wing pairing that they need to be the best wing pairing. So give them the time, and if you feel like Sané needs to kind of ease back into it still a little bit more, then go ahead, have no worries about plugging Kingsley Coman in at some point later in the match. But that'd be how I'd do it, and that's kind of similar to how I do the back line too. I would say I would want to have Lucas Hernandez on the left and Pavard on the right, and then just as much as they've had some struggles, I would still go with Boateng and Alaba at center back, and then worst case scenario, you have Bonassar, who can come on and play well on either fullback position. And if you want to move one of those right, those center backs out, you can slide one of those guys in. And so that gives you a little bit more option. But basically what I would say is I would guess, if I were Hansi Flick and just kind of judging based on how he's operated, I have no idea, but I think he could vary. I would be looking ahead to Dortmund a little bit and thinking, I'm going to put out a really good lineup for this match against Salzburg, with an eye to what we're going to play on Saturday against Dortmund.
Yes, I think one of the great things is we have options, right? Even though there's so many injured players, it's good to see that Bayern actually have options. Whereas, you know, if you look a year and a half ago, this definitely wasn't the case. But
well, the fact that we're talking about. We have multiple options. We can play on the right back position.
Yeah, exactly.
Foreign territory.
Right. It's definitely a little weird, but that's all the time that we have for this one. So if you've enjoyed listening or you are a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways you can do it. You can reach out to us by email at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can follow us over on Twitter at Super Bayern Pod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, we're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.